Morning all. Let's just open in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that it is to be here this morning, to worship you, to fellowship, and to learn more of you. So calm our hearts, please, Lord, over these next few moments, and help us to direct our thoughts to you and keep our hearts calm. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Give me a tick while I get set here. Psalm 25 is a good way to start a new year. The key word in the passage is hope. Let's just look for a moment at those verses 3, 5 and 21. There is an outline on the back there of opposite page, so you can follow that in a moment. So look at verse 3. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Then 5. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. And down the bottom, may integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you. So the key word in this passage is hope. My hope is in you. As Matthew stated last week, the Psalms fall into different categories. Psalm 25 reassures and confirms us of God's love. Now, some of you may have received, when you were a kid at school, a Gideon's Bible. The Gideon's International, they hand out Bibles to all high schools, to year sevens, and those that wish to have one, they're given out free. And it contains the New Testament, the Psalms, and the Proverbs. Now, they do put out full Bibles that they put in motel rooms, hotels, all these kind of things all around the world. But this is the one that they give to school kids. And there's also ones that they give, that a blue cover, that they give to nurses, others that they hand out in prisons, etc. Anyway, I've got a red one. Now, in front, there is a where to find help section. And instead of just starting in the Gospels, there is a where you can go to find help. And for those that are afraid, something you may be anxious about, or you may be seeking guidance. And the majority of those, I noticed as I went through them, have a psalm reference. So the Gideons produce this pocket-sized book and they realise the importance of the Psalms. So let's look at Psalm 25. As we look forward to this new year, we all have hopes, dreams, aspirations. Some may be fulfilled, some may lead to disappointment. However, our hope in Jesus Christ will never be a letdown. It will only be positive, encouraging, and beneficial. Think of the contrast between Christians and non-Christians. 2 weeks ago was Christmas Day. Non-Christians put their hope in Santa, presents, excess food and grog, and to make themselves happy. Encouraged by the retail industry to buy more, have more things, go into deeper debt. This will give a lot of fun. On TV, the weeks before Christmas, there was every conceivable aberrant movie about Santa. You read the TV guide, it was just, you shake it. And other inane rubbish. But nothing about Jesus. It's a taboo subject as far as the media is concerned. The whole theme is a shallow emptiness. Don't think about the future and what Christmas is all about and all that it really means. Well, the hype and razzmatazz didn't last. Christmas should be the most peaceful and joyful time of the year. Yet police and emergency workers reported increased hospitalisations, deaths and family violence. Why? Because all the jolly ho 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 is just froth and bubbles, and the whole circus runs down and falls flat. For Christians, Christmas is a wonderful time. Christians put their hope in Jesus, a sure and lasting opportunity. Jesus, God's truth fulfilled as told by the prophets from long ago, came into the world and we celebrate, and it lasts. Well, what is Christian hope? And there are six little points on the back, so I'm going to define Christian hope. Christian hope is a confident expectation of good things to come. Christian hope is a confident expectation of good things to come. Christian hope is a firm assurance regarding things that are unclear and unknown. This Psalm 25 was written 3,000 years ago, yet it contains the essence of so many truths. It is modern and up to date as today. It's appropriate for 2018. David is said to be a man after God's own heart. He wasn't perfect. He had his human failings, but he never lost sight of that special relationship with God. In his early years, he meditated a lot on the things of God. And this is something that I don't do enough of. As I thought about it, I thought, yeah, I don't set a time aside, enough time just to sit and think. What's Arthur Wardle from the 11 o'clock service, one of his favourite sayings is, sometimes I sits and thinks and sometimes I just sits. Well, I don't do enough of it. What about you? So, in nearly every verse, David states a characteristic of God. For instance, in verse 2, God is trustworthy. David gets it right. He directs his desires, thoughts, and prayers to God, and he does it with hope or expectation of a gracious answer. God is trustworthy. In verse 3, he protects from shame those who love him. Verse 4, he's knowable, he's a teacher, he is a guide to the humble. One of my favourite verses is Micah 6:8, which says, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Isn't that a great verse? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Continuing the attributes, God is merciful, he is loving, he is forgiving, he is good, he is upright, he is an instructor. In verse 14, David talks about a covenant relationship, that binding, not to be broken agreement. I will be your God, you will be my people. Straightforward statement. I will be your God, you will be my people. It's an unbroken covenant relationship. In verse 15, he releases people from the grip of sin. This is an important verse here. David says, eyes on God, my trust is in him. My expectation of relief from sin is from God only. From God only. Continuing, there is compassion, refuge from troubles. Now in Matthew chapter 23, verse 36, Jesus is lamenting the state of Jerusalem, and he says, how often I have longed to gather you, your children together, as hens gather her chicks under her wings. That's a lovely imagery, isn't it? If you're a little chicken, under mum's wings is the safest place to be when the eagle circles overhead. God is our refuge from troubles. So with all these attributes, is it any wonder David put his trust and dependence in God? So what a great encouragement for us as we go into this new year, thinking about who God is. And then point number 3, what do we learn of David? How many of these can we lay claim to? Because in verse 1, David knows who created and runs the universe. That's a great thing to know, isn't it? Who created and who runs the universe? Number two, in verse 2, he has his troubles, but he knows who to turn to. I mean, David was one of those guys. He had his own son start a civil war against him. You know, he had a few troubles compared, you know. Oh, I've had it easy. Verse 4, he knows where to get the best education money can't buy. David says, show me your ways, O Lord. In verse 5, David is discerning. He wants guidance into truth. Basically, David has an abiding, deep down, unshakable love for God. David has his thinking right on who God is, what relationship he wants with his people, and how he and us can have the privilege of knowing God as our Saviour. Well, back to Christian hope. Let's concentrate on verses 3, 5 and 21. What is Christian hope? It is a confident expectation of good things to come. This is why David put his hope in God, who can be trusted. And there are two important points there. On what grounds do we have Christian hope? Well, the sovereign grace of God. God is gracious to us. He loves us unconditionally. Unconditionally. Secondly, the good news that Christ died for sinners. He died for me so that I am forgiven and can come before God. Look in verse 5. Note it there. David knew God was his Saviour 1,000 years before Jesus came to earth. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. You are my Saviour, he said. So these two points are a pretty good foundation to build our hope on. What causes us? We're in 4, part B. What causes us to have Christian hope in our hearts? Well, think about the work of God in renewing our hearts. Peter talks about this when he says, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. That's inspiring stuff, isn't it? A new birth, start again, clean page of our lives. And then we have assurance. Because Jesus rose from the dead, he proved his authority by coming back to life, doing what he said he would. My heart is renewed because God promises, keeps his promise. My hope is secure. And a second reference for Christian hope is in Romans when Paul says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we have hope. So this is the promise of God in his word. As we read, think, our hope is encouraged. So, point C, what are we hoping for? The appearing of Jesus. What a great day that will be. Every day that goes by is one day closer. It will happen. Jesus will return. The righteousness of God is for everyone on earth, sharing the glory of God. Have you ever done some serious walking? You know, sort of there's people that have walked from Katoomba to Mittagong and all that sort of up and down the hills and around. You're hot, dry and parched. Suddenly you come to a pool of water. Do you just sit and look? Oh, that's nice water, isn't it, over there? No, you get right in. You drink your fill. You wallow in it. You enjoy it immensely. And this is the picture in my mind here. Just being bathed in God's glory and inheriting eternal life. What great hope that is. knowing that when we die as Christians, we're going to spend eternity in God's presence where everything is perfect. Without hope, life loses its meaning. Hope placed in unsure things is lost hope. It's disappointing hope. Hopes are dashed when we put our faith in things that fade. Well, point number 5, some thoughts to ponder over this next year about our own hope, where it's based and on whom it's dependent. In our daily struggles and joys, we may encounter disappointments as people let us down or we let them down. However, disappointments are not the central theme of life. And there will be disappointments as we come through life. There'll be heartache that we will encounter in this coming year. There'll be joys. But what, as Christians, how do we cope with those heartaches, those bad times? Christians who concentrate on the negatives of life, the glass is always half empty mentality, are not experiencing Christian hope. We have an assurance that God is in control and everything will be right, even if it may seem bleak through human eyes. The fruit of our hope is a closer walk with God each day, as we realise our relationship with Him is for eternity. We are encouraged. We have that knowledge to keep on with our faith. In our daily life, Christian hope gives us the answers to life's big questions. Who am I? What is the meaning of life? What am I doing in my life? Am I growing deeper in my relationship with Jesus? Now, in the shorter catechism, ever seen one of these? People that have done, it says, the shorter catechism with scripture proofs. And it's an old book. But people say at confirmation, people are given something like that, I assume these days. They were many, many years ago. But it's great because it's a little question-answer sort of thing with nice short answers to concentrate the mind on the things that you should know. And in question one, starts right off, question one, hits the nail right on the head. What is the chief purpose of man? What is the chief purpose of our being? And the answer, it says, is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's a short, pithy summation, isn't it, of what the Christian faith is about? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That sums up a lot. Christian hope allows us to enjoy God forever. In our daily life, as we walk along life's tortuous path, concentrate on God and enjoy His presence. When we pray, thank God for who He is, His creation, what He does, and all the blessings that He pours on us. Don't be sidetracked by the devil. Live the Christian hope. Pray expectantly to God who answers prayer. Point 6, David knew hope. He sums up in verse 21. He mentions integrity and uprightness and then finishes with, because our hope is in God. Remember the words in one of the songs that we sang last week. It said, my hope is based on nothing less than Jesus and His righteousness. The question to ponder for the year, where is my hope? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray that You will keep us focused on You, that our hope is in You, that our sure knowledge, based on all that we read in Scripture, we know that it comes true, and we thank You for the promise of Your Son dying, rising to death from death for us. And we do pray, Lord, that we will keep our eyes focused on You and that Christian hope will be ours. We thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.